I hate gift giving and receiving.
Receiving gifts is so weird. What do you say? Thank you?
This is Coffee Convos with Kale Lowry and Lindsay Chrisley.
I really want you to be in your feels, Kale.
That does not interest me whatsoever.
I feel very attacked by you.
A spirited discussion about motherhood, friendship, family, and life in the public eye.
I'm just not with the fakery anymore.
There's a fakery bakery around here.
Here's Kale and Lindsay.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
Kale, I was hoping that you were going to sing the intro. I was like, she's back. She's going to be singing. It's going to be a good vibe.
It's what not the a good vibe today. I'm very low energy today. I'm struggling a little bit. Don't really feel like getting out of bed. I'm literally in bed podcasting, and that's not normally like me. But how are you? How has it been without me? Did you have a great vacation?
First of all, you need an Alani immediately. Like,
I do
stat.
Need an Alani. Yeah.
Someone needs to deliver it to the bed.
Immediately. How was your vacation? Tell me about everything that has occurred over the last 3 weeks, because I haven't even, like, you and I haven't even texted. I've been going through it. Like, I'm talking, like, down in the dumps.
Kale, we are concerned. And when I say we, your friend group, that includes me and Kristen. And also Coffee Convos podcast listeners are like, where is she at? No, I had a great vacation, came back feeling super refreshed. But anyone who goes on vacation with your kids knows that when you get back from that vacation, you actually need another vacation from that vacation to kind of
solo,
like, fix yourself.
Yes. 100%.
And I did not take that second vacation. So, yeah, it's been great. And you know how it is when you've got, like, house projects and just shit going on and, like, life's happening and you're just like, what the fuck happened? Like, I just literally woke up and I was 32 years old and had all these responsibilities, and I am not with the shit.
Also same. I 30 has not been great for me. 30 really is just been, I turned 30 last month. I was supposed to go to Thailand. That went to shit. Then I was supposed to go to the Maldives, and that also went to shit. And then the lawsuit with Brianna was dismissed. So now I owe her some money. And I started antidepressants in the last 2 weeks. And I, you know what? Like, I don't know what has occurred in the last 1 to 2 months, but this is definitely what is it called, the ebbs and flows, what is it?
Yeah, ebbs and flows
ebbs
of
and
life
flows. Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, knock on wood, nothing can get worse right now. Like, I'm hoping that this is kind of like down in the dumps, and then I'm gonna come back up, I'm gonna make a comeback. But I'm struggling.
You're ebbing right now.
I'm ebbing.
Like,
I'm
you ebbing. Are ebbing. Okay. Oh my gosh. Wait. So let's back up for a second.
Okay.
How much information do you want to talk about on your mental health? If you want to tell me to fuck off, like, please feel free to do so.
I'll talk about whatever. I went through, you know, over the last 2 weeks, I was trying to take a staycation, and the staycation really didn't end up being a staycation because I had my kids. So,
see?
It wasn't ever a staycation. I never relaxed. And then the lawsuit stuff occurred, and I just hit like a really low point. I realized I was having more bad days than good days. Like, I just wasn't having productive days, like, to the point where I didn't want to work. I didn't want to get out of bed. I wanted to go from my bed to my couch and my couch to my bed. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to do anything. And, like, when I would wake up in the morning and not want to take care of my kids or not want to take care of my dogs, I knew that this was like a big, like, it was becoming a big problem. And so Natalie was like, I'm going to call your doctor, which she did. And I said, well, I'm not going to go. Like, you can make the appointment, but I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go on meds. Like, I don't want to do it. And then the next day was a Tuesday, and she showed up at my house and she took me to the doctor, and she went in with me and we talked to the doctor, and, you know, did that whole thing. And he put me on Zoloft. And at first I was just like, I would rather die than go on meds. Like, I just didn't want, if I'm not stable, like, I just shouldn't be here. And then I was like, oh, I have my kids to live for. And I just, not that I wanted to die. Like, I'm not suicidal. Like, please don't take it the wrong way. But I was just like,
you were so down in the dumps.
Yes. Yeah. And I just didn't want to feel like that anymore. I don't want to feel like that anymore. That I was like, all right, let me just try these meds. Like, let me see if these meds will work. And it's been, tomorrow will be 2 full weeks. No, today is 2 full weeks since I started them. And I guess it takes some time. Yesterday, I had a pretty productive day. I felt okay. I didn't feel good, but I felt okay. And so I'm hoping that, you know, that was the first like okay day that I had in 2.5 weeks. So I'm hoping that the meds are going to start working. And I really just need to like, I say it all the time and I don't ever do it. Like I need to eat well. I need to eat better because I do think that also is contributing to how I feel.
I think your gut has a lot to do with a lot of different things in life. And I think we can all probably do better at that. I will say on the depression front, the only thing that I can relate this to is I remember talking about this a long time ago in 2019, right after my parents were indicted.
Indicted.
They were indicted. Right after that, I kid you not, and now because you're going through this, you can probably relate a lot more, that I woke up and I felt like just months had passed by and I didn't even realize it was going from like day to day.
That's literally where I'm at. Like, I cannot believe we're almost in May. Like, this is the end of April. I don't know where the time went. I don't know what I've been doing. And I've never... I guess this is just not what I thought depression was. Like, I know it affects every single person differently, but that's exactly what it is. Like, I just, you don't know what's what.
I would say I would come and visit, but like, would that even be a thing? Because if I did do that, would you just be like sleeping? Would you be like willing to do anything? Or are you just like, do you feel like you're coming out of it? Do you feel like you're like still like so in the thick of it?
I think I'm still kind of in the thick of it. Like, even it was really hard for me to like podcast this morning. I don't want to do anything. Like, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go anywhere. And so I think maybe in the next couple of weeks, like I'm hopeful that the meds will start to work and that I'll want to like just do life. Like, I want to go like see you, hang out.
What if I just come to Dover and we go to Chili's? Like, that's so low key.
I mean, that would be great, but we don't have a Chili's in Dover. The closest one is like an hour away.
What?
Yeah.
Where are we going then? I come there and y'all don't even have Chili's?
No, we have an Olive Garden.
Oh my gosh. Actually, my friend and I were talking about this other day about Olive Garden, and I'm like, you either love Olive Garden or you hate it. Like, you're either there for the all-you-can-eat salad and breadsticks, or you're literally never going to that place.
My kids love Olive Garden. They love Olive Garden.
What do they get there?
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Wait, do y'all remember back, I say back in the day, it was probably like last year in all reality, but remember how you could go to Olive Garden and it's like, okay, yes, you are like fucking up that salad and those breadsticks and you love it so much. And then they ran that special where it's like you can buy one and take one. So yes, it's like you get it there and then you get to take one home. Oh yes, my God. I would go to Olive Garden specifically because I knew I was going to get to take one home. And it was a marketing scam.
It was.
I mean, got bamboozled by Olive Garden.
But I mean, I feel like that's a good deal. Like, I feel like that's a great deal.
No, I feel like the price is, I feel like they like get you in the price. Like, the drinks are probably like $3. So it like probably actually pays for what you're taking home. And you think that you're getting like such a great deal. But do you know how many times that I went to Olive Garden specifically so that I could bring something home?
But that's like the same Not thing telling you. For like Black Friday is a marketing scam too.
Yeah.
Because like, actually they have those types of sales all year long.
One time I went to Target on a Black Friday sale, no lie, to buy sports bras. And then that shit was cheaper like a couple of weeks later. And I woke up to go and do that.
That was your first mistake, is ever getting up early ever, on Black Friday.
Ever. Like, you will never catch me out Black Friday. Watch this. When it comes Black Friday, somebody's going to see me out. And they're going to be like, that bitch is a liar.
That's okay. Watch, they will. That's okay. So we could talk about cereal right now. While Catalina Crunch is helpful for a keto or low-carb lifestyle, it's great for anyone who wants a nutritious way to enjoy their favorite snacks. This is perfect for me right now because I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to get that summer bod.
Oh my gosh. I love Catalina Crunch. Like, it literally has changed my cereal game. For those of you who have not tried Catalina Crunch, you guys definitely need to try it. It is zero sugar, keto friendly, and low carb, and they have amazing flavors. I just love it so much. It's so delicious. And most zero sugar foods don't taste delicious. We've all tried some of those, but Catalina Crunch truly really nailed this. Zero sugar, low carb, keto friendly. Plus it packs a whopping 11 grams of plant-based protein and 9 grams of fiber per serving. You can taste for yourself why over 10,000 customers rate Catalina Crunch 5 stars. They've got 8 crave-worthy flavors to choose from, like the nostalgia-inducing cinnamon toast, decadent dark chocolate, and creamy chocolate peanut butter. The creamy chocolate peanut butter hits so hard. It's so good. See why Catalina Crunch cereal is the fastest-growing cereal brand in America. Just go to catalinacrunch.com/coffeeconvos for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's catalinacrunch.com/coffeeconvos. Again, not sure which flavor to start with? You can try a variety pack and check out their delicious cookies and snack mixes while you're at it. Again, catalinacrunch.com/coffeeconvos for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Hey everyone, you might remember me from Teen Mom 2, but my 15 minutes is almost up. So I'm back with another podcast. I'm your barely famous host, Kale Lowry, and I'm catching up with people from my past, putting my exes on the hot seat, and chatting with TikTokers, influencers, and other reality stars. Get weird with me every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts. What have you been watching? What have you been up to? Like, talk to me.
What scams have you been participating in?
Right.
My entire life. No, I've just been, you know, going to the gym a lot. Just trying to keep my mental health in check as well. It's very easy to kind of get a little off, when you got a lot of things going on in life and just feeling stressed. You know, my divorce was final, I think on my dad's birthday, actually. And you know, kind of like navigating that and just feeling like the closure from that and just feeling like a brand new me. And doing a lot of sleeping. I caught up on some shows this weekend. I watched both episodes of The Kardashians that released. Did you know
that? I did too. I also watched them.
Girl, did you know that The Kardashians like shut down Hulu on the second episode?
And Disney Plus.
Yes.
And so did Disney Plus was shut down too. And I was a little annoyed about the Disney Plus one because my kids watch it. And Hot Neighbor has been letting me use his internet, his Wi-Fi.
Oh my God.
So... thank you. Shout out to Hot Neighbor. I was trying to, I had watched both episodes of The Kardashians and then Lux wanted to watch something on Disney Plus and we couldn't get on it because they shut that shit down.
How crazy is that?
First of all, let's talk about Courtney and Travis like making out in front of the realtor and like she straddles him in this rental property and he just like awkwardly walks away and I just died. Like I was cracking up.
Wait, so tell me your thoughts on this and I'm going to tell you mine.
Do you want like my, like on Courtney and Travis or just like on the Kardashians?
Yeah, just on Courtney and Travis.
I love how in love Courtney is and I resonate with her saying like her kids have never seen like a super affectionate relationship. And so I love that for them. But I think like her just like becoming Travis and like her, all of a sudden his style is her style, like doesn't feel completely right. But also it's not my relationship and I'm not her. So like I also, it just feels weird like watching it. Like she's just become like a different person in that way, like her style, who she is. But I think that their like relationship is cute.
Okay. So I liked the relationship more before I saw it on TV.
Okay, agreed.
Like when I was just seeing it on social media, I was like, okay, this is a vibe. Like I like this. Good for her. And then when I saw it on the show, there's a couple of red flags for me, because I feel like when you're so hot and heavy like that, it could be a dangerous, slippery slope. It's like, I prefer, and in fairness, I don't know how long that their relationship has been going on from the time that they filmed this to, you know, whatever, but I think that solid, steady relationships progress over a period of time. And I think for me, if I was getting into anything, if it was like so hot, heavy, steamy, can't keep your hands off of each other, I feel like that would be like a very sexually charged relationship, and I would run from that. And so right. when I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, that's what that seems like to me.
Right. There's no longevity like in those types, yeah. typically, at least not from my experience. There's just not longevity in those types of relationships. And that's exactly what I was thinking. The one thing that I will point out though, is like maybe because they live in separate houses, but I don't know, because if they're just like sleeping over at each other's houses, then.
Well, and one point that she did make that I can definitely get behind was that she's okay with the PDA and stuff because she wants to show her kids like a loving relationship, because it's not something that she had for such a long period of time. I just personally see some flags that maybe there's like some overcompensation from what she didn't have in the past relationship to the current one. And so it's like very hot and heavy. And I think there's a fine line when PDA is just something that I don't love. Like, I'm not a huge, you know, like a kiss, hug, whatever, a little butt grab, like little grab with the tip of the dick, you know, like, you know, nobody's watching. Okay. But you know, when you are literally full straddle, we don't know if you're on a horse or if like you're riding his wiener, like we don't know what's going on. I become alarmed at that point.
How do you
feel about PDA?
PDA, I think a little bit is fine. A little bit goes a long way. I don't know that you need to like make out and grope each other on like red carpets or anything, but like, you know, a little PDA is, you know, just a little bit, like you said, little butt grab, little, you know, kiss, whatever, like
grab at the tip of the dick, you know, yeah, like, yeah,
you know,
like it's okay.
Tip of the dick. I don't know if I've ever grabbed a tip of the dick in public. Maybe when no one was looking. I'm not sure. I'm not opposed.
We can't confirm. You have four kids.
Can't confirm or deny. Yeah, I definitely. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Courtney and Travis. Also, to each their own. And it sounds like, and it looks like they don't give a fuck what we think anyway. So
I do love that. And I think that they're in a completely different phase of life now with this new show of like, I'm going to unapologetically be me, and you can either take it or leave it. I don't really care. And I do love that aspect of it.
I noticed that Kendall and Kylie were not very much present on episodes 1 and 2. Do we think that's because the show is called The Kardashians, or do we think that they're just busy?
I think that they're possibly just busy. Kylie with the pregnancy, I think probably plays into it. Kendall claims that she has COVID. That could be.
She faked it though. She said she didn't have. Oh, wait, yeah,
didn't
have the flu.
It could be false. You know how production is sometimes, where they've got to have an excuse as to why someone wasn't on an episode. So who really knows? In my opinion, I think that it's a little weird that everything's called Kardashian, but then they're so successful as Jenners, and it's just not recognized as much. So
that's a good point.
That's my opinion.
How do we feel about the sex tape stuff with Kim?
We talked a little bit about the sex tape in the past week. I saw this one article, and again, it's coming from the Sun, so not sure how reputable this actually is. But it says, keeping up with the fakery, Kim Kardashian ripped for faking Saint finding out about sex tape leak as fan spot telltale sign scene is staged. So I don't know if this was staged or not, but I kind of felt like that when when it was playing. Like, I kind of felt like it was a little bit staged. And viewers are claiming the scene was clearly staged, pointing out inconsistencies over who was sitting next to Kim. And the last part, Kim is on the phone. She's clearly faking the call. First, Chloe is next to her, and then it's Courtney, but we're supposed to believe it's the same phone call. Again, this was something that was written on Reddit, so, like, let's just be mindful. The call to her lawyer and PR person, if you rewatch, you'll see the inconsistencies. Another person added, so Saint seeing that on Roblox at their very first film scene, setting the tone for the new show, is absolutely planned and staged, right? A third person posted, I genuinely laughed at the whole situation because it's obviously fake. I feel like Kim's trying to be an actress in this season. Her reactions are so over the top and it's just very weird. So, not sure. What do you think?
I do want to say, I didn't read any of that on Reddit, but I do want to say that when you're filming a reality show, and I'm only speaking from experience, like, say we film over a 6 or 9 month period and something happens during month 8 or 7 that is so over the top and dramatic, they might edit that into the season as episode 1.
You know, I didn't even think about that part of the equation.
So
yeah.
When they just said, oh, like, that happened on the first day of filming, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was the first day of filming. Episode 1 of any season of anything does not mean that it was the first day of filming. It just means that it happened during filming at some point between the first day and the last day.
Well, and let's be honest, they are launching this new show on a new platform. They've been married to E for, you know, how long? Obviously there's going to be some publicity around information on a more sex tape scandal. If they run this in the early episodes. So, I mean, I think that that's very fair to say maybe this was filmed, you know, 6 months, 7 months in, and they edited it into first or second episode. That's fair.
Yeah. Did you see the viral TikTok of Tristan's face when when Kim goes to Saint and she's like, Chloe, I need to show you something. And then Tristan looks at the camera like mortified. Did you see it?
No, I did not see it, but I'm going to need you to send it to the Coffee Convos
group
chat. I'm going
to have to.
Also, yeah. Outside of that, I still pretty much every day of my life say good morning to everyone except Tristan Thompson. So that's kind of how I feel about it. And Tristan was probably just worried about what kind of scandal he was about to get caught up in. So that's my thoughts on that.
I just was cracking up. I thought it was so funny. I'm like, I can't.
So what's our like consolidated opinion on the Kardashian show? Cause I love the new platform. I love the drone footage. I love completely the way that they filmed it. I think it's still definitely represents the lifestyle that they live, but it's a bit more stripped down and just easier to relate to certain stuff. When she talked about cleaning the playroom and how
it makes her horny.
Yeah, it makes her horny. I'm like, okay, gives me an orgasm. So yeah, same.
Yeah, same.
Like,
I care,
love a clean space.
How fake or how many conspiracy theories there are on the fake storylines. I don't care. I'm still going to watch it. So as
Same.
Long as We're Hot Neighbor gives me his Wi-Fi, I will continue to watch the Kardashians.
Love it. Okay, wait. So before we move into some listener questions, I have to tell you about what I did. So I've been super busy at home doing this spring cleaning thing. And is anyone else spring cleaning or is it like just me? Because I'm purging everything that I probably don't even need to purge, but it's just like it feels good to get rid of stuff. So the other morning, I guess I had intentions to eat breakfast, right? And I go and put some oatmeal in the microwave like I do every single morning. And not until this weekend did I open up the microwave, I guess, again. And I went to go and put a bowl of oatmeal in there. And when I opened it up, evidently last week I put oatmeal in there and never turned it on and never ate it.
Oh.
It was just like there.
Oh, okay. So I thought that this was going to be a conversation of, do you make oatmeal on the stove or in the microwave?
Oh, wait, but I am kind of interested in knowing that, actually.
Well, I don't eat oatmeal ever, so Javi ruined that for me when I was married, and I'll never eat it again. But if I was to eat it, I would make it in the microwave.
Okay, so I actually prefer oatmeal on the stove. I think it's way better. The consistency seems way better. And I add like milk and butter and sugar to my oatmeal when I make it in the on the stove. But when I make it in the microwave, it's literally like a dollop of butter and we're calling it a day. Because that's just like butter. The easy, fast way. You don't put butter in it?
No, I've never heard of butter in your oatmeal.
And then I need to know, if you are listening to this, if you are more of like an oatmeal gal or are you cream of wheat? Because if you're cream of wheat, like I'm upset.
Nobody wants cream of wheat. I'm not even an oatmeal person and nobody eats cream of wheat. Nobody wants that. Nobody willingly eats cream of wheat.
Okay. Well, my family is pretty much half and half, like half like cream of wheat and half like oatmeal. So I feel like that's not true, Akil. I feel like you just made up a rumor.
Wait, I didn't make up a rumor. Nobody eats cream of wheat, Lindsay.
Okay, well, we're going to poll and we're going to see.
Well, while I've been gone off of coffee combos for the last like 3 weeks, I started antidepressants and just trying to keep up with my therapy. It's been quite the adventure. And I say all of this to say that you guys need to check out Cerebral. Cerebral is an online mental health service that offers prescription medication, counseling, and therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. I just realized that I was having more bad days than good days. I was having more days where I couldn't get out of bed than I was having productive days. And that's when I realized that I really need to reach out and get more help. I need to try something other than just therapy, which is medication. So I did start antidepressants. And I'm, you know, always willing to talk about it because if this could help one other person, that's what I want to do.
So a little bit about Cerebral, one of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships medication straight to your door. So you guys get to skip the pharmacy lines. And with the Cerebral mobile app, it's like having your personal care team wherever you are. So you can manage your care team and access self-care resources wherever you are, connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through your laptop or through the Cerebral mobile app. Affordable treatment that are one-third the price of traditional therapy. 50% of Cerebral's clinicians self-identify as people of color. It's important to Cerebral to have the diversity so everyone can get the treatment that they deserve. And for our listeners of this program, you can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at cerebral.com/convos. Go to cerebral.com/convos for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission to make quality mental health care accessible and affordable for all. I am going to get into the listener topics because basically we need to because there's a lot. The first question is best things to have accomplished before having a baby. And I actually love this question for multiple different reasons. I think it's great to have a plan, go into life with a plan, but also if you try to plan every time that you have a child or try to plan the perfect time to have a child, I don't think that you ever will have them. So I think that you should just like, you know, for me, I wanted to get through college, wanted to start my career, but ended up getting pregnant so quick that that just like really didn't happen. And then, you know, was on reality TV and now podcaster, and everything has seemed to like work out in the timing the way that it was supposed to. So I don't really have a list of like what you should have accomplished before you do this.
I definitely think it varies by person. Whenever Kristen asks me about having kids, I'm like, go travel with your husband. That's like been my thing. Like go do a ton of things that you've wanted to do by yourself, because it just makes it so much harder once you have kids. Not impossible, just harder and obviously more expensive. I don't think there's a right answer for this, but for me, just like go travel, go do some things with your partner, your husband, your wife, whoever. I don't know. Have a bucket list, check some things off, and then maybe have a baby.
I think now that I have a 9-year-old, I'm like, okay, if I had to like go back and change some things, like maybe we would have gone on like couples trips and maybe we would have done this, maybe we would have done that. But I still don't think that I would have changed like when I had Jackson or whatever. Like I think everything just happens in the timing that it's supposed to happen. And I fully believe that. And I don't believe in mistakes when it comes to children. And so I don't know. Like some people are very list driven and they're like, I need to like check. I know one person that used to be in my life that had a list her entire life and was like, okay, I need to be married by the time I am 30. I need to have my kids and be done having kids by the time I'm 35. I need to be here in my professional career by the time I'm 32. Like a whole list. And that to me stresses me out because I think, yes, it's nice to have goals, but also like to have something so, so planned out, it leaves no room for like an adventure or an excitement because everything's so planned. And the older I get, the more I'm okay with like the excitement part of
right.
stuff.
Right. I never had like a timeline of things that I wanted to do like by ages, mainly because my life is a shit show. But I know that that is like a common thing that people talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Second question. What to do with a strong-willed child who constantly argues over everything? Do you have one of these?
I have 3 of these. I have 4 of these.
You're like actually all of
even,
them.
Even Creed argues with me about things. This one's a tough one. I think that, you know, talking to your kids is really important, especially like on a recent episode of Teen Mom 2 where, you know, Lux wanted to play football. And yes, I know he's 4, so he doesn't get to make final decisions. But at the end of the day, he didn't, that day, that morning, he didn't want to participate. And it's like, I'm telling you, you don't have to participate, but you need to show up for your team. Just like there has to be some level of boundaries with your kids. You know, you want to, they're their own individual person. So you want to let them express to you how they feel and what they want, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to always get what they want. You'll consider it, but you know, that's not necessarily how it goes. So I guess just like setting boundaries and talking and being super open and honest so that your kids can feel comfortable expressing to you why they're arguing certain things, but also just like understanding that they can't always have it their way.
I also have a strong-willed child and he wants his position to be heard very loudly and he will bend over backward, sideways, upside down to make sure that his position is known. As much as you don't want to break their spirit and you want to parent gently, I'm very careful when it comes to trying to correct Jackson on some of his strong-willedness because I feel like in a lot of ways, the strong-willed behavior in a child turns into a leader later down the road. And so I try to explain to him like other people's opinions and how they see things and why, you know, like maybe another idea might be better than his idea, or just present him with another person's perspective to get him mm-hmm. to understand. But a lot of people who have strong-willed kids will understand that if you have a child who is strong-willed, they don't care literally if they – like they're going to bust a gut to do whatever the hell they want to do.
Oh, and that's so, Creed, Romello, Lowry Lopez. I have never met a child more strong-willed than him.
I wonder what it is. I wonder if it's like youngest child, if it's – is it just truly personality?
Maybe a combination of both, and also being quarantine baby and like trying to keep up. Like me and him, like I never thought I would say like I butt heads with my almost 2-year-old, but like it's a no from me.
You used to say this about Isaac too, though. You used to say I butt heads most with Isaac. And now I guess Creed has taken the cake.
Creed has taken the cake through and through. Like, there is no other child like him.
And what are these strong-willed behaviors? Like, is it he wants to wear certain things? He doesn't want to eat certain things? He wants to get his way all the time?
It's his way or the highway, Lindsay. Like, when I tell you, Creed is so smart beyond his age. Like, he knows what the fuck I'm saying. Like, he knows. And he will look me in the face when I tell him no for something, and he will do it anyway and laugh.
And you're like, okay.
And so, I'm like, I'm not laughing with you. I'm not laughing at all.
We are trying to determine if we're raising psychopaths or if this is just normal child behavior or if we might be raising the next president of the United States. We're not exactly sure.
Could you imagine Teen Mom 2 star raises next president of the United States? Like,
love
people
that
would
headline.
Shit themselves.
Would literally shit themselves.
They would not be okay.
I love it. Okay. How to stand up to a toxic boss who gossips about everyone. First of all, why is this boss gossiping about everyone? Because if they're a boss and they're gossiping about everyone, we don't like them immediately.
Yeah. How are they the boss if they're gossiping about everyone?
Yeah. Like, that's a sign of weak leadership to me. And so I think that toxic boss actually needs to lose their job if they're gossiping about everyone. And gossiping is just not really something, I think we've all done it for sure, but it's just not something that I really enjoy participating in at all. I think I kind of like outgrew it at some point in probably the last 5 years. So I'm not really sure how you stand up to a toxic boss, because then they're probably going to fire you since they're so toxic.
Yeah. Maybe just look. I know it sounds, it's easy.
Call HR.
Oh, I mean, that's a good point. Although I've had experiences with HR where they're going to protect the company. I mean, they're supposed to be like a third party, but they're not sometimes. It sounds a lot easier said than done, but maybe start looking for a new job, because I don't think that's one, that's not a battle you're going to win.
No, it's definitely not. Wait, I saw this, speaking of HR, I saw this TikTok and it was like, when you tell a joke so funny that HR wants to hear it. And I was not okay. Yeah, I think that I'm going to go with Kale on that recommendation. Like, maybe get on Glassdoor and start, you know, searching around, because I don't know that this is going to change unless your boss changes. So
right. And you can't make someone change, especially if they don't see a problem with their actions. So.
For sure. Okay. My best friend backed out of my wedding 30 days before. Oh, wow. She expects us to remain friends as we have been for 10 years. What would you do?
I need more context on this. I need more context on this.
Kale's like, because that sounds like something I would do.
Also, I would do it. And I need more context. Like, was she depressed? Because that's 10 out of 10 a pass for me. Or what is the reasoning? Because actually, Kristen, can I tell your story? Yeah. This happened to Kristen.
Wait, what?
Yeah. One of her good friends dropped out of her wedding. Like, how many days before? It was like a while before.
Maybe like 2 months.
Like 2 months before her wedding dropped out.
What do you do in that situation? Like.
Well, and then that's, it's just like a weird, like, it happens. Things happen. But like, what is the reasoning? I do feel like while you don't ever owe an explanation for like what you want to do, I also feel like for a situation like a wedding, so much money, time, effort, planning goes into that. And especially when there's groomsmen who are matched up with the bridesmaids, what do you do in that situation where one is then missing?
Well, here's the thing. 30 days before seems like not a whole lot of notice. But I will say, we do need more context to this, because what if this person was a bridezilla and like the friend no longer could handle possible toxic behavior and then just decides that she's going to dip and she's like, I'm just not going to do this? Because to be perfectly honest, weddings very much stress me out. And I don't like to be in stressful situations, and I feel like we just need way more info.
Yeah, I don't think that we could give a full, you know, I was going to say COVID, but I mean, 30 days, you wouldn't have COVID for 30. I mean, maybe. But also, she expects us to remain friends as we have been. So whatever she was canceling on the wedding or backing out of the wedding for might have been a big deal if she expects to stay friends. So we need more context on this.
Yeah. Send more info. Okay, Kale, how did you deal with people judging you for being pregnant and not being married?
Well, the first time I was 16, so, or 17. And so I don't think anyone really expected me to be married. I don't know if anyone knows this, but Joe actually did propose to me after Isaac was born. And I don't know. I never really paid attention to that. It wasn't like a super big deal as far as Joe goes. I think by getting married to Javi and having Lincoln, people felt like I corrected, like I was like redeemed. And then with Chris, I don't know. I don't think a whole lot of people really, it wasn't really judgment for not being married. It was more judgment for not being able to keep a man.
Oh, okay.
But it's odd because I left Joe, I left Javi, and I ultimately left Chris. So like, when people say I can't keep a man, I left all of them.
We need to figure out the situation of leave. Okay, this is a really good one. So this is definitely not part of the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you were in a situation with someone and you're like, okay, potentially this person is going to leave me, are you going to try to leave them first or let them leave you?
Well, I'm a self-sabotager, so I'm going to just leave first.
See, I feel like that is a trauma response.
Well, I'm always going to leave someone before right? they leave me. Even if they weren't planning on leaving me, I'm going to leave them before they leave me.
But are you leaving to eliminate yourself from being further hurt? Or yeah. are you leaving because you just want to leave?
I'm leaving so that
you don't want to be hurt by this person.
Correct. Like, not even necessarily hurt, because I think leaving someone is also like that hurts, right? Like, that's, I don't want to leave this person, but you know, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't want them to hurt me. It's more like the fear of rejection. So if mm-hmm. someone leaves me, that's a different kind of hurt because they don't want me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that does. That definitely makes sense. I actually want to talk about this question a little bit because my parents were so young when they had me. My mom was 18 and my dad was 21. And they were not married when they got pregnant, and kind of shotgun wedded it. And then ultimately were in a toxic marriage, ended up having another baby. And I feel like just made the situation worse over time because they didn't want to be unmarried people with a child. So they just rushed into this marriage. And I would venture out to say that probably wouldn't have had the second child if they would have just like thugged it out and been not together and just raised me. So I am definitely not an advocate for people getting married for the sake of, oh, we got pregnant and we needed to do that.
I agree with you. I also just think that like marriage now, like I just have a completely different view and take on it. I understand like the legal aspect of it, like when you're married and say one of them, you know, gets into a car accident and making final decisions and things like that. But as far as like a child goes, in my opinion, a child is a bigger commitment and a longer commitment. And why do you have to be married for that? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I will say, going into my next phase of life, and you know, people might shame me for this and it's okay because it's how I feel. So frankly, I don't give a fuck. I would not rush into getting married for the sake of having a child. Like if I was in a stable relationship with someone and we both wanted to do that, but like marriage wasn't the thought before doing that, I would be okay with it.
Right. Same. I agree with you. We're on the same page. That's so crazy. Like we have had such different experiences in life, but also that we both agree on.
It's so crazy.
So shopping for new clothes can be time consuming and stressful, especially when you have four little rugrats like me. So why not let Stitch Fix do all the work for you so you can find more time doing things that you love, like playing outside and doing activities, especially with the nice weather coming. It's springtime. shopping for clothes is daunting in my household, especially when I have, you know, four kids with four different sizes, four different styles. And you just never know if things are going to fit, especially if you order like online. And it just makes things super difficult. And I have a big problem when it comes to returns. I typically don't return things just because of the hassle. Stitch Fix actually makes it really easy because they send you an envelope with a prepaid shipping label. So all you have to do is stick it outside or on your mailbox. I love Stitch Fix. It really just takes the legwork out of shopping for all of my kids.
It's literally the gift that just keeps on giving. And I swear it's so easy and just fun to get started. You guys can just take a few minutes to set up your Stitch Fix style profile. And then you just answer a few questions about what you like to wear, what you don't, and if you're open to trying new styles. And then Stitch Fix expert stylists will go to work finding items exclusively for you. Every piece is handpicked for you and it's unique to your size, style, and fits in your budget, making it the best way to discover clothes that make you look and feel your best. And Stitch Fix will send you 5 pieces to try on at home, and you keep what you love and then you send back what you don't. And as Kale said, shipping, returns, and exchanges are easy and free. And one thing that I love is there is no subscription required. Try once or you guys can set up automatic deliveries and there are no hidden fees ever. Sign up for Stitch Fix and get the season's latest pieces for women, men, and kids. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/convos to get 20% off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/convos to get 20% off your first purchase. Limited time offer, purchase within 2 days of sign up. Okay, so this is a what would you do? I have a mother who wants to be in my child's life, but doesn't respect boundaries. She also threatens to take you to court for grandparents' rights when you don't answer your phone because you're working, busy, doing housework, kids are sleeping, etc. Your mother is a psychopath and I'm alarmed.
Again, I need more context. What kind of boundaries? Like, is this boundaries with the child? She's not following what you are wanting for your child. She threatens to take you to court for grandparents' rights when you don't answer your phone. I think based on just this minimal amount of information, you need to distance yourself from her because clearly she's not necessarily in the right state of mind if she is threatening grandparents' rights when you don't answer your phone. That's weird. That's a little extra, but also I feel like I need more context. Like
I feel like here? I don't need more context.
You don't?
I feel like it's very clear what's going on here. And I think boundaries, period, regardless if the mother agrees with them or if she doesn't, it's this mother's boundaries. So whether they are personal boundaries with her or boundaries with her children, if someone is treading on your boundaries,
yeah,
and you have identified that with this other person and they're threatening you to go to court for grandparents' rights, that's a bit alarming. And immediately I'm going to remove myself from that situation. And if you think that you can get grandparents' rights by taking me to court, please exhaust your resources, do so, and I'll see you at court. But I'm not going to have anything to do with you if you can't respect my boundaries.
Okay. I think that's fair. I definitely think that's fair.
Nobody's going to threaten me with shit. Like, if you are going to do it, just do it. Like, don't even tell me about it. Like, just
that's how I feel. Just be about it. Don't say anything. Just do it.
Yeah. And that's with anything. Like, when I told you about Will saying he was going to call the cops, I mean, go ahead, call them. Let me give you my address and I will be here waiting on them. Tell them that I'm here and they've got 15 minutes to show up because I got some errands to run.
I don't care.
Like, people, the older that I have gotten, I will tell you that I am so firm on my boundaries with stuff that, like, I just don't play and I don't care. And I've never really been the type of person to care that much about much anyway. But the older I've gotten, the worse it has become. And now I'm like, okay, if you can't respect my boundaries, immediately, no.
Immediately, no.
No.
I agree.
Okay. How long do you feel unhappy in a relationship before determining it's over and can't fix it? I don't think this is a simple answer.
No, there's no simple answer to this. And I feel like this is where I say it's never going to be black and white. It's so hard because I've struggled with this myself. Like, you have to exhaust all your resources. And I think at that point, if you've tried everything why wait any longer? Like, you deserve to be happy, and life is so short that you shouldn't spend too much time. But, like, also, you almost have to, like, weigh the pros and cons. Like, at what cost are you trying to fix this? Like, and what resources have you exhausted? Have you gone to therapy? Have you tried counseling? Have you tried, you know, reconnecting through, you know, dates or whatever? I don't think that there's an answer, like a set answer for this.
There's not a short answer to this. I think that sometimes you find yourself in a relationship where you have good moments and then you have unhappy moments. And sometimes the unhappy moments become just very overwhelming. And that's what happened for me. And I think that, you know, seeking advice from friends, family, whatever. I actually saw this thing on The Good Quote this morning, and it says, my mom once said to me, I can tell you over and over to leave the situation, but you won't until you're ready. One day you will wake up and realize it isn't what you want and feel like it isn't what you want to feel like anymore, and you'll be done. And I think it's important that everyone hears this. I think that it's very easy for outsiders to tell you, you know, like, you're so unhappy, you should get out of this relationship. It's not a fixable thing. But until you've gone through those emotions and processed that fully for yourself, it's not a lesson someone else can teach you. You have to go through it yourself, on your own, and be able to, like, purge it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I definitely think that that's really good advice. I went through that with Javi and Chris, right? Like, it was always like everyone else saw how toxic and unhappy we were, but we couldn't end it until we were ready. You know what I mean? And even then, it was usually just me. It's like, okay, I'm ready to be done here. But
until you get to that point, though, yourself, no one else can do that for you.
And that's one thing that my friend Natalie, she's a little bit older than me. Actually, she's old enough to be my mom, but she's one of my best friends. And that was something that she said to me, like, when we became really close, she was like, I just have to support you through this. And one day you're going to hit your wall, and one day you're going to leave and you're going to be done. She's like, but until then, I can't sit here and tell you, you know, you have to leave, you have to leave, you have to leave, because anyone can tell you that, but you have to be ready yourself. And so that I try to keep that in mind when my friends are in, you know, toxic relationships. I have a friend now who's texting me about her situation. And as much as I want to tell her, like, leave, get the fuck out, like, he, you know, it's not good for you, it's, one, not my place, and two, she's not going to listen. So, yeah, I think only you will know the answer to that.
Agreed. I love, the crazy thing is we live such different lives and we're raised so very differently. But I feel like through the time that we have had this show, the alignment that we currently have and outlook on things is so similar that it almost freaks me out.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of cool, though. Like, it's kind of cool to see, like, our evolution of that, because we started off so different and we also didn't really know each other. And then now, like, through such different life experiences, we are aligned in so many opinions and ways.
Damn, we've just been through it. Okay, somebody says, Lindsay, advice for dealing with my toxic mother-in-law. Run. Run.
Wait, okay, can we talk about this, though? Because I feel like I'm never in any relationship moving forward. I just don't even want to meet their family. Like, I just don't. So, like, I just don't even want to get to the point where it's a toxic mother-in-law.
No, I need to meet them so soon.
No.
I need to meet them so soon that it's almost like a red flag that, like, I need to do this so soon, because I'm like, okay, if the mother-in-law and you can't jive immediately, that's a no-go for me. Never will be in a situation like that again. And to be honest, my mother-in-law was not toxic, okay, you guys? Like, yeah, like, we didn't really get along, and I don't like her ideas, and she definitely doesn't fucking like my ideas. But she can be with those ideas now, and, like, she has her son back, and I wish them nothing but the best, and they can just, like, mosey along in their business and stay away from me. But I really, next time around, if I ever do get married again, which, who knows if that happens, whoever's mother is going to be in my life, I want that to be such a solid and stable relationship, because I do truly feel like that if they are very close to their family and they're going to be spending and expecting you to spend a lot of time with their family as well, that those things do matter, because those are the people that you're going to be surrounding yourself with. It's energies. And I don't want to be around bad ones.
I just, you know, with my current place in life, I don't want to meet his family. Like, I don't want to, I just don't want to explain. I don't want to explain myself. I don't want to, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to tell my story 100 times. I don't want to, I just don't like, I.
Here's an idea. You should make a video, like a vlog. And you should be like, give this to your people and let them watch this. And if they have any questions, I will answer them all. And one time we're going to have a conference at this house and they can come and I'll answer it one time. And literally we're never talking about this again. You know, that is so stressful. I feel like you have 4 kids, you've been in so many different situations throughout the years that it becomes exhausting after a while.
I'm exhausted. And it has nothing to do with not liking the family or, you know, what I do know about them. I'm tired. I don't want to explain that the rumors that you're hearing online about me are 99% untrue. I don't want to explain to you that I don't have parents. I don't want to explain to you that I have 3 baby dads. I just don't want to. And like, it has nothing to do with them. I'm just tired. You know what I mean? Like, I hear that they're very, very good people and they love each other so much. They're a super close family, but like, I just don't want to.
I do feel like the more you start, you know, becoming comfortable with the situation, I think that that naturally will happen on its own time and it's not going to have to be forced. And I think that when you feel like it's forced, it's not the time to do it.
Okay, that's fair. So just basically I need to give it time, because I say a lot of things on this podcast, like I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. And then I find myself in a relationship and in love and head over heels. And then I said I was never going to be with anyone ever again. So like, I don't know, maybe just give myself some time.
I think allowing yourself to be in whatever phase that you want to be and just living in that moment. And then the time will come where you feel like, okay, now the time is right. And it will not feel forced and it will not feel fake and it will not feel judgy. And when you get to that place, you'll know it. And you're not at that place.
I'm not at that place currently, but there's room in the future.
And you want it to be healthy, right? Because like, you're not feeling your healthiest. So when you do finally meet the people, then when you do meet the people, you will be able to feel good and be able to embrace that, and you're not in a space to be able to do that right now.
Okay, I think that's a really good point that I didn't think about. It's just like, yeah, how I'm feeling right now, the depression, everything else, obviously I'm gonna have a little bit more of a negative outlook on things. So yeah, I mean, maybe once the meds kick in, I'm eating well, I'm feeling better, like maybe I'll have a change of heart and like a different perspective.
Well, and I think everything right now feels so overwhelming to you, and that is depression and that is having 4 children and, you know, being a mom and a business owner and like all of these things, it's heavy. And so I think once you come out of some of the depression, and I hope with the Zoloft, like that's, you know, going to start taking effect and you're going to start feeling the positive effects of that very soon, I think you're going to have a totally different perspective on it. And I'm going to ask you about it in a couple of weeks, actually. I'm going to remind myself.
Great. Make a note. Put a sticky note on your computer.
I am. I'm going to. Okay. So how do you let a friendship go with kindness when you know it has run its course? Wow. So actually, I am in a situation like this right now, and I'm not going to go into too many details about it, but I think when with therapy, a lot of things have changed for my life, and things that I used to accept, I no longer will accept anymore. And I know that those things are like red flags, and it's not a green flying flag. And I'm like, okay, I definitely need to get away with that, get away from that. And sometimes I think that you can, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. I have a friend or acquaintance in my life that there's just like some moral and character things that I just like can't get behind. And I'm having a really hard time separating myself from that person, wanting to be there for that person, but at the same time knowing that like I don't support certain behaviors. And it's very hard. So then I just find myself pulling myself back. But then that's also not fair, because it's like you're leaving someone on red. And it's like, just be an adult about this and just be like, hey, I don't like these things about you, and because of that, I can't continue this friendship. Like, I should be grown enough to be able to do that. But for whatever reason, I don't want to hurt the person's feelings because they're already like in a low place. So then how do you, I don't know how to do this.
I think this also is just not a black and white answer. I think it depends on how close the relationship is, because there are certain friendships that, you know, maybe you just don't talk to them as much, and then slowly over time you just don't talk to them anymore, and so you've truly outgrown the friendship. But if this is something that's somebody that's like very close to you and you feel like you can no longer participate, I think they're, to your point, like you should say something. Like, you can't just let it fizzle out. Like, there's no way to like let it fizzle out. So I do need a little bit more context, but I don't know how to answer this question, because I feel like I've outgrown a lot of my friendships, but a lot of them end up being like fallouts or just like phases of life. Like, when Jackson started school, you probably met some of his like friends from school's parents, and then, you know, other friends that didn't have kids. Maybe those friendships changed. I do think it's a part of life. So if you approached it from a way that was like, you know, I'm feeling like we're not really aligned in this friendship, like, I think we need to take a step back. That could be like a nice way to say it.
We're not feeling aligned in this friendship. Therefore, it's over.
A friendship breakup.
Can you imagine like me trying to break up? Honestly, Kale. I mean,
with me?
Yeah. Like, what if I was like, Kale, it would literally look like this. It would be like, hey, Kale, we're breaking up till further notice. Don't ever contact me until further notice.
I'll contact you when I'm ready.
You'll be like, I'll contact you, and I fucking choose to.
I don't know. Like, I don't, like, what would you say?
I don't know how to do this with kindness. Like, dear friend that's no longer my friend, that tells you everything that you need to know. We're no longer friends. Goodbye.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I've only ever,
ever had toxic fallouts. Like, I don't know.
I've had super toxic fallouts, or just, like, mutually outgrow the friendship, where like we mutually stopped asking each other to hang out for whatever reason, like phases of life, and then some of them come back and we're, you know, close again, and sometimes they don't, and that's okay, there's no beef. But like, I've never actually, that I can think of. Kristen, can you think of anyone I had to like end the friendship?
No,
I can't think of anyone. I think just saying, you know what, I don't think our lives are aligned at this time. Like, I, you know, I wish you the best, but I really need to take a step back from this friendship. That's the only thing that comes to mind.
You're like, that is the best that I've got for you today.
That's really the best I've got.
It's the best I've got ever.
So let's talk about Thuma really quick. Lindsay and I both have relatively new homes, and we just love to decorate and post about our homes. And Thuma practices an intentional less is more design philosophy for the bedroom. So with clean lines, subtle curves, and lifestyle enhancing details, Thuma proves that simplicity is the truest form of sophistication. Introducing The Bed by Thuma. You guys have to check this out. Handcrafted from eco-friendly, high quality upcycled wood, you'll find beautiful, unique variations in the natural grain. So if you guys are in the market for a new bed, this is it for you guys. You have to check it out.
Made for how you live, the Bed by Thuma is backed with a lifetime warranty, ships right to your door in 3 easy to maneuver boxes, and takes about 5-ish minutes to assemble. No tools required, so you can easily build it yourself. And I live by myself, so this is definitely a major perk for me. Along with the bed, Thuma offers other bedroom essentials to elevate bedtime. The nightstand, the side table, the tray are perfect complements to the bed. So you guys can create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home with the bed by Thuma. And now go to thuma.co/coffee and use code coffee to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed plus free shipping in the continental U.S. That's thuma.co/coffee and enter coffee at checkout for $25 credit. thuma.co/coffee and enter code coffee. A lot of us are doing that thing now. We've all been in our places a lot recently, so we're doing that thing where you look around and imagine what you really want your home to be, like having a balcony to have your own outdoor space, maybe extra closet, or you might want a room for an actual home office. The cool thing is that there's a thing for that, apartments.com. They've already helped millions of renters find their perfect place to live with powerful search tools and 3D virtual tours to narrow down exactly what you want. Apartments.com is just the thing to get you into the space that you keep imagining. Visit apartments.com, the place to find a place. Okay, wait. So I have one question for you, and it's a question that I want answered for myself. What's going on with your plants?
Well,
did they pass away?
Unfortunately, I did lose 2 during my depression.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is tragic.
I lost Big Bird, which was my bird's nest fern. And I lost one other one. I can't pronounce the name of it. But it was a tree. And
is it a she or a he?
It's a she. And, okay. You know, it was a little devastating for me because I know it sounds so dumb, but like that was one of the turning points for me where I knew that the depression was so out of control that I could no longer, like, therapy was not enough by itself because my plants were suffering. And I know how crazy that sounds. But, like, I love my plants so much that I knew that when they were suffering and I wasn't taking care of them and I wasn't, you know, rotating them and watering them and clipping them and things like that, I knew that I was going downhill. So
that's very much when I became alarmed.
Yeah.
I mean, I was alarmed before that.
Right. But you knew really then that there was a problem.
Kristen and I needed to send a life alert when we found out about the plants. Yeah. We were like, oh, okay.
Kristen's like, I need to go do an emergency check on these plants. But I started to clean them up and like rearrange them for like the lighting and took any like, because you want to take the dead leaves and stuff off because you don't want that plant's energy to go to the dead leaves, because then it's not going to have, it's just like you're like a human body. Like you want to take care of everything, you know, so that the energy of your body is not going towards, like, if you get rid of an infection. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do get what you're saying.
You want to clear up the infection so that your energy can go towards everything. And so, like, I really just needed to, like, clean everybody up and, like, rotate them and water them and do all of that. So they're on their way on the up and up, but I did lose 2. So RIP to Big Bird and my other tree.
Wait. I'm just like very proud of you being the plant parent that you are, because everything that I've ever had, I kill. And I was talking to my friend's husband. He came out to assess my yard this weekend to tell me what types of plants that we need to buy. And he was like, yeah, we definitely need to get stuff that's going to be like very low maintenance. And I'm like, actually, are there plants out there that are no maintenance? Because if there is, then that's them. That's the ones that I need to get.
There's some grasses that you can get that are very pretty. And then they have very low maintenance, like no maintenance, like literally none.
I'm like, of course, all the things that I want are like so high maintenance things. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's actually never happening. On one side of my house, please explain to me how I managed to kill hardscape.
How do you kill hardscape?
We don't know. Like, no one knows, but, like, literally it's so dead. Every plant on the side, on one side of the house, I'm like, okay, so either someone's pulling a trick on me and these things were already dead, or I'm genuinely just bad luck.
I'm going to need you to figure that out.
You said, yeah.
I need you to figure that out. That's not good. Because now nature is saying, like, you shouldn't even have plants outside.
Bye. Like, it's so rude.
I'm sorry.
It's so rude. I got to pick those up at some point this week. Yeah, it's on my to-do list. Did I tell you I pressure washed this weekend?
I think I saw that on your story.
Honey, I had that pressure washer out there going and blowing, and I was like, yes.
Going and blowing.
I am domestic. I can get cobwebs off. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't need no man. It was
honestly,
great.
Honestly, though, pressure washing is fun.
Listen, the amount of messages that I got from people that were like, you literally made me go to Home Depot or Lowe's to buy a pressure washer because it looked so fun. I'm like, you know what? You're welcome to the United States of America for making everybody cleaner. You're welcome.
Hot neighbor was
dusting those
pressure washing
dusting those cobwebs
me.
Off, baby. Oh, he was pressure washing for you, so you didn't even have to do it?
No, because I've been depressed. He's just been taking care of my yard.
You need a man. You need a man.
I do. I recently do. He helped me out. God. He mowed my lawn. Truly have the best neighbor ever.
I said to one of my friends this weekend, I woke up and Georgia had literally diarrheaed like all over her crate. And I said, and this is the exact reason why I probably need a husband again.
That's the only reason. You don't need him to pressure wash. You don't need him for the lawn. You don't need him for anything else, but you need a husband for the shit crate.
Dog shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Like to clean up. I was gagging. Kale. It was so bad. I was like, okay, anyone that can do something this foul gets no treats ever again. Like, ever again, if that bitch thinks that she is going to get turkey meatballs, never
She's
again
not. She's
is
never
that happening.
Getting them.
No, well, because she diarrheaed everywhere.
Of dog diarrhea, one of our foul play ones.
Is about dog diarrhea?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Wait. You're reading them
okay.
today.
All right. I'll read one. I'll read both. Okay. So the second one I'm going to read first because it says dog diarrhea in the middle of it. And I didn't read the whole thing, but it says, okay. We have an older pug that sleeps in our bed. He has bladder issues. So he has a pee pad because sometimes he can't hold it overnight or if we're out longer than normal. Since he's old, we have to help him get on and off the bed. One night while I was 9 months pregnant, he kept whining to get down. I let him down a couple of times, but eventually fell asleep for the night. While we were getting dressed the next day, I sat on my bed to get on my leggings, since I was super pregnant and I just had my undies on. As soon as I sat down, my ass felt wet. I jumped up thinking I sat in dog puke. Worse, it was dog diarrhea. I immediately start gagging and freaking out. My husband had already left for work, so here I am, 9 months pregnant, trying not to throw up on my bed while getting my comforter off. I just threw out the whole comforter instead of washing it because I could never sleep with it again. I then got in the shower and got dressed again. Went out to the mudroom where there was his pee pad, and that was covered in it too. No idea what caused this diarrhea, but it was awful. We ended up having to get him on medication from the vet to stop it because it lasted a few days. He slept on the floor in his doggy bed until I knew he felt better. So that is awful.
Okay. First of all, when dogs have diarrhea, I swear, I feel like it lasts for days. And Georgia's gone through this, and it's actually the worst. Like, I would personally rather have diarrhea than her having diarrhea. This entire situation is just dreadful, and I'm so sorry about your comforter. Also, why do dogs have diarrhea for so fucking long?
I'm not sure, but
like, their intestines are literally falling out.
Yeah. And dogs, it's horrible because humans typically make it to a toilet. Like, if a dog has diarrhea and they
typically,
can't get it.
What do you mean?
Sometimes people shit themselves.
Who? You?
I'm just saying. Speaking of shit, I haven't shit in 4 days and I got green juice.
What?
I'm in LA right now and in bed podcasting.
That's why you're so full of shit right now.
Literally. Kristen got me green juice. It has like kale and apple and all of the things that should make me shit. And I cannot go. I have not gone since Friday, and it's Tuesday.
Wait, how did you know that you haven't gone since Friday? Do you count your shits?
Well, so someone took me to the airport, to brought me to the airport on Saturday. And I was very like self-conscious about it because I was like, oh my God, I didn't shit all day yesterday. So I'm going to have to shit and I don't want to shit around him. So I like, I'm very weird about my poops. So I was like, oh my God, I didn't, like, what if I get diarrhea because I didn't shit yesterday and now I'm going to, my stomach's going to hurt. And if I have to go to bed, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just thinking about it. And then, and then Saturday came where he took me to the airport and I still hadn't shit. So I was like, oh wow. And then I got to LA on Sunday cause I actually stayed at the airport on Saturday and, left on Sunday and I still haven't pooped and it's Tuesday. So, the green juice didn't
help. Worried about your bowel.
Yeah, I'm going to get magnesium citrate.
Well, will you let us know and update us on that shit? Take a picture of it.
No.
Post it.
No, I will not. It's the depression. Okay, the second foul play. I'm listening to your newest episode about the unsolicited dick pics, and I have to share this story. I had this guy add me on Snapchat a few years ago, and his name was Brownie6916. I didn't know him, but his Bitmoji looked like a guy my husband was friends with, so I added him thinking nothing of it. Well, Brownie69 already at red flag.
Yeah, red flag.
I woke up the next morning and had a Snapchat from him. I open it half asleep, and what do you know? It's a dick pic. Not just any dick pic. It was an uncircumcised and dirty and had gunk all over the head of it. Lindsay, shut up. She said, no hate to anyone who is uncircumcised, but I've been with my husband since I was 15 and he is circumcised. So to see one not circumcised was a bit of a shock. I just quickly exited out of the snap and continued to get ready for work with intentions of deleting old Brownie later on. I get to work and have another snap from him. Open it again and it's his dirty peen on my screen. So obviously I message him and I'm like, what the fuck? Who are you? And can you not do that? His punk ass asks me to send him a picture back. No, thank you. So it was wintertime and my dog had some really dry.
How do you know that your dog had? Oh my God.
And my dog had some really dry balls and they were like flaking. And I had taken a picture to send my husband because it looked so funny. Anyways, I sent Brownie6916 the picture of my poor dog's dried up nutsack, and he immediately blocked me. Thank God. I never found out who this guy was, but I hope for the sake of any future sexual partners he may have, he got his peen checked out because that gunk on the end looked like my eye boogers when my allergies are acting up. And I just don't think that's normal. I love your podcast and have since the beginning. Oh,
gunk.
My.
Gunk.
Lindsay, shut the fuck up. I
can't. Oh. Eye boogers. It looked like gunk in your eye boogers.
The balls were a nice touch to reply with. I thought that was very clever.
Very clever. Honestly, I've never known for a dog's nutsack to be dried up in the wintertime. But if you have a dog that has a dried up nutsack in the wintertime, you will relate to this lady. I'm upset that any man would be out here sending dick pics with gunk on the head.
Well, it's just like common sense. Like, wash your dick.
Does he not know about it?
Wash your dick.
Literally scrub your dick if this is what's going on. Because you got gunk on there that looks like eye boogers. Call the fucking cops.
Call the fucking cops.
If I saw this, I would post it. If someone sent me this, I would post it.
Brownie6919.
We should look him up. I wonder if he's still existing on Snapchat.
No, he probably got so many dog ball pics.
Wait, listen, I don't have it, but can we make up a Snapchat to Snapchat this person to see if he actually exists? Maybe we could actually get a picture of the gunky dick.
Ew, I don't want to see it.
I want to see what it looks like.
I'll Snapchat him right now.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, I will.
Are you for real?
Yeah, I will fucking Snapchat him right now. How do you?
What are you sending him?
How do you add someone on Snapchat?
What are you sending him?
I'll send him a picture of my fucking feet.
Send him a picture of your toe, but make sure it's the one with the toe ring.
Okay, hold on. Brownie. Hold on. I'm looking it up. Brownie 69. Is it 16? 6916?
Yeah, 6916. See if he exists.
It says no results.
No results. Oh, he canceled it. He, after the gunky dick pic, he was like, oh, I'm going to log off this app.
No gunky dick pic.
Have you ever seen a gunky dick?
No, I haven't. I never have.
I've never seen one. I don't know that we want to see that, to be honest. What is this shit that you're sending to the Coffee Combos group chat?
Well, I sent
some dumb shit.
The TikTok.
No results.
And I also.
No results.
Brownie6916 is at the top.
Okay. And it just says shit. No results. I'm dead. Okay. Well, what are you guys going to do for the rest of the day? Other than like not put up with my shit.
I'm going to be podcasting over at Podcast One and then getting back in bed immediately following.
You're not going to have as fun that you had with me today.
No, I won't. This is the funnest I'll ever have today.
This is the moment you have been, you woke up for, honestly.
Gunky dick pics.
You woke up for this moment.
Yeah.
We love it. Okay. So if you guys have not followed us on Coffee Combos Podcast on Instagram, follow us over there. If you're not subscribed to our show, what the fuck are you doing? Go to the Purple Podcast app, type in Coffee Combos, click subscribe, click the 5th star, and only leave us a nice review. You can also find us on Spotify, Podcast One, and any other shit. I hope you guys have a great week. Kale, we love you. Goodbye.
See ya.